From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler. Iconic newscaster Jane Pauley was co-host of the Today Show for 13 years. She then anchored Dateline NBC for another 11. Her best-selling memoir, Skywriting, A Life Out of the Blue, precedes her most recent book, Your Life Calling. She will be in Columbus on January 9th for a reception and a reading at the Thurber House. Welcome to Craft, Jane Pauley.
Well, thank you. First-time visitor, but not to Columbus. I'm an old friend of Columbus.
Well, it is an honor to have you as a guest. I was a longtime watcher of the Today Show when you were host, and my mom for years would precede news with, Jane Pauley had a guest today.
And that's adorable. You know, young men like you often talk to me, and somehow or another, their moms always come up.
Right, yes. She was a big, big fan, and I'm sure she is familiar with the things that you're doing on Today right now.
Yeah, well, give her my love, please.
So, as I understand it, this book arose out of your interviews for your Life Reimagined Today segments on the Today Show. What did you want to do with this book that you didn't get a chance to do during the interviews?
Well, I do an interview that may take, 2 hours of conversation. And we, boil it down to a segment that's about 3.5 minutes of video. There's so much more to say. There's so much nuance. And I want to connect the story I tell to the larger audience in a way I can't do on television. I have to take for granted that the viewer might be extrapolating something that resonated personally. A book is an option for me to be a little more direct in, notice when he says, underscoring something important, an insight a guest may have had, drawing a more direct line between the reason I'm telling this story is because I want you, the viewer or the reader, to be inspired by this, this particular aspect. You know, the stories are just, they lend themselves to, bigger, lingering discussion. And to be honest, as soon as I started doing the stories on Today, I started thinking, if I had 20 stories, I could do a book. And we've since done a little over 3 dozen. Not all of them are in the book, but mm-hmm. It allows for a comprehensive interpretation of what we're talking about when we talk about reimagination or reinvention, because I don't repeat myself at all. We've never told the same story twice.
How did you select people for inclusion into the book? What made them stand out to you in order to make it into this new book, Your Life Calling?
Well, all of them could have. I didn't leave any story out because it wasn't right for the book. I just, you run out of pages. But the relatability, someone doing something that might resonate with the broadest number of people. I do some stories that are really big ones, world-changing kind of stories, which I put in somewhat reluctantly because I don't aspire to astonish people. That's not my goal. My goal is to actually inspire you to see your own life in a new way, and not necessarily a new and remarkable, whiz-bang reinterpretation, but just you, the same person in the mirror, but a little differently. But I might put in that great big game-changing story because, like the story of Jenny Bowen, who started a nonprofit that's in every province of China, which is kind of unusual for the Chinese to allow an American NGO help them reform their Chinese orphanages. I put her in because, in a broad way, she illustrates the point that everything we have all done in the first 10, 20, 30 years of our work lives, and that includes work in every description of work. Mm-hmm. It's not a career necessarily, a job. It could be a stay-at-home mom. It could be who knows. But everything we've done bundled together in a unique way might lend itself to something quite different, or in Jenny Bowen's case, astonishing. But most of my stories are real-life people that you you know, you would feel comfortable with, you know, sitting next to, you know, on a plane or sitting next to them in church. I mean, I aspire to tell stories that are real.
One of the things that I found really interesting about the book is that you're a journalist, but you've got your own stories and your own relations. You talk about your husband, you talk about your sister, your mom being an organist in the church and how that affected her. And that really I found interesting because it's a kind of journalism that is maybe different from some of the other journalism you've probably done before, where you didn't get to have yourself
in
as much.
I've always thought that, you know, all journalists are storytellers. Not all storytellers are journalists, but I think that as a journalist, I probably was more storyteller than reporter. So that when I had the opportunity to reimagine my life, which, let's be honest, was also my obligation because I didn't have, the phone wasn't ringing off the hook with, you know, Jane, another position for you on daytime television or primetime television. I had to invent, you know, my next iteration of work. But it turns out to be the best fit. And it's me telling stories for a reason. You know, it's not just reporting the news of the day, but because there's a message here that I'm excited about and I want to share. I haven't written an advice book. It's not a how-to.
Right.
It's more show and tell. In telling all of these stories, and in addition to the family you mentioned, some of personal friends, people who have just entered my life, a woman who introduced herself at the airport and had a story to tell. So overall, there are probably, you know, 36 or more people who make appearances in the book, and including all three of my children have had a role to play.
Or an email.
That's Tom. I mean, Tom, my youngest, sent me the kind of meddling, you know, advice email that I am famous for sending my kids, you know, which was basically, Mom, you're wasting your talents, you know, that you've spent enough time thinking about what you might want to do or might be good at or, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's time to make something happen.
Right. I was really taken by your mention of your husband, Gary Trudeau, a couple times. There was one time I read it and I thought, I wonder if he had to give okay to have that in the book, because I think you phrase it as a darkly comic take on your kitchen. That is in various pieces, and he says it's a lot like your career right now. And I thought, and you said you smiled at that moment. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that might not smile.
It was at the time when I was leaving the Today Show, which was probably the most dramatic period of my life. It was kind of an ongoing, off camera, but high profile struggle.
Right.
And you know, we were renovating a kitchen, which he wasn't wild about the idea anyway, and it was just all torn up, wires dangling and, you know, plasterboard on the floor, and Gary doesn't like change. You know, he likes things to stay put and stay the way they are. So the idea of renovating our kitchen was not his. So he was comparing my, at that point, uncertain prospects career-wise to this chaos we were looking at what had been our kitchen. He looks glum, and I'm kind of delighted. I am, as he describes me, a change agent. Not everyone is. If I sense it's time to move on, I will look for the first off-ramp. Not everybody is like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have very close friends who don't want to talk about change, who do not find reinvention a happy word. But sooner or later, as Sue Halpern, one of my stories in the book, puts it, we all get in our routines, and then something happens that shakes us out of our routine. And it's at that point when, like it or not, ready or not, change happens. And our generation, I'm speaking as a baby boomer, is the first generation to get a heads up that it's different. Our lives from 50 on are going to be different than our parents and grandparents expected. Even though a lot of us, like I have my Aunt Martha's story, she was kind of a reinvention. Her life was one reinvention after another. She was widowed when she was 50 and had a series of jobs and finally retired from her last job as a travel guide at 75 because the agency closed and she still had 20 more years to go. Mm-hmm. So my generation isn't the first to have these opportunities or to need to reinvent ourselves. We're the first to be given kind of a generational heads up, which I think is really exciting prospect that the baby boomers, by modeling what midlife will look like for all the generations that come after us, may redeem our youthful promise. Because let's face it, we aren't the greatest generation, we're the biggest. But this is a big thing that we're doing. And the Gen Xers are starting to turn 50 in February. They're watching. I talk to them all the time, and reporters tell me, I'm only 42, but this is all I talk about.
Yeah, as a member of Gen X, which the other day, I was reading your book, I was trying to remember what generation I'm supposed to be part of.
Well, you got to be a baby boomer to be that, identified, because we all think of ourselves as a we.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure. We grew up as we. There were 42 kids in my first, second, third grade classes. There were so many of us, they couldn't build school fast enough. So, and we all watched the same TV stations, and we all listened to basically the same radio station. Today, generations are more diversified and more varied, so you may not think of yourself as we, like
right.
My generation does.
Right. Well, I wanted to say one other thing about the book, Your Life Calling, which is now out, is that, as somebody who's not part of the boomer generation, I was able to read it and get a lot of useful thoughts about it. I've gone through some change. I might be more like your husband in that I'm not always a fan of it, and I'm not always expecting it. And so, certainly I can see, I saw a lot of really useful information. And when you interviewed, I think it was a general who went to become a superintendent of schools. I thought that's got to be one of the biggest switches I can imagine. Maybe becoming an artist after being in the military for 30 years would be the only other biggest kind
of
switch.
But you know what? General Tata was the son of two educators.
Right.
Both of his parents were teachers. And as he says, I don't know what part of Afghanistan. Was he in Fallujah, possibly? And he saw schools bombed, teachers killed, and he had the epiphany, the enemy of my enemy is education.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a young brigadier general, and he looks as healthy as a teenager, recognized he was young enough to retire from the military, having achieved everything that he wanted to, but still young enough to start something entirely different and have a brand new second career. Well, most of us aren't looking for second careers,
right. But
some are.
I'm still looking for my first career, so I feel that problem. Well, Jane Pauley, I thank you very, very much for talking to me today on Craft. Again, the book is Your Life Calling, and you'll be in town Thursday, January 9th with the Thurber House. Thank you very much, and have a great day, Jane Pauley.
Excited to be coming. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
For more information about my guest, Jane Pauley, visit www.craftheshow.com. And while you're there, comment on the Jane Pauley post. You will be entered into a drawing to receive her book, Your Life Calling. So check out craftheshow.com. Until next time, this is Doug Dangler. Be creative.